Hello, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA Podcast. And welcome to the start of our seventh season, podcast episode 67. Hey, we welcome back our wonderful digital audience today, and thank you for your support. Well, we're going to take you right to Las Vegas with Jill Nicole, who's at the eatery at Park MGM and on her way to see Aerosmith. Here's Jill.
Hi, this is Jill Nicole from Las Vegas and Casinos USA. And I'm calling to tell you about our experience at Eataly in Park MGM. We were headed out July 4th for the Aerosmith concert at Park MGM. We chose to valet New York because it's easy access for us locals. Easy in, easy out. We walked through New York Casino and out into the park, which is one of our favorite places, being that it's right next to T-Mobile Arena, home of our beloved Vegas Golden Knights. So we walked through the park, take in the scenery, the music, cross the street, and go into Park MGM. A little note, if you are walking anywhere in Las Vegas on the Strip, always use the crosswalks. Pedestrians do not seem to fare well when they don't, so always use the crosswalks. So we go into Park MGM and walk up the hallway, make a right. We're right in the casino, and we see Eataly, which is one of the largest Italian marketplaces with restaurants in the world now in Vegas, relatively new. It has dozens of authentic Italian eateries. Everything's very high quality. And let me reiterate, it is authentic Italian cuisine. So if you think you're just going to have spaghetti and meatballs and fried mozzarella sticks that you have at your local place, not the case. Extremely authentic. I had, in fact, these fried rice balls with mushrooms and cheese, and they were delicious. So Italian street food. They have pizzerias there, pasta, fish, steak, rotisserie chicken. They have classes that they offer for cooking and wine tasting. We didn't partake in that. We hung out before the show and had some really nice Italian wine and Italian beer and some cheese tray, which was delish. One thing about Eataly that's really nice, it's major people watching. It's wide open. It's like this huge, airy food court, only all the food's delicious, and the smell is incredible. So I highly recommend going to Eataly. You can get relatively inexpensive items there, and of course they have the cannoli and the gelato and the bakery. Mwah! Very good. It does get pricey when you go into the prime rib and the steak and the meals. There is a sit-down restaurant that you go into there also. After we left Eataly, now I took my wine with me because it is Vegas. You can carry it everywhere in the casino. I had thought that I was going to have to dump it before I went into Park MGM's venue to see Aerosmith. Not the case. So you don't have to rush. You can enjoy your drink. You go up to the show them your ticket, and they pour your drink into a plastic cup and let you take it into the venue, which was, I thought, a very cool thing. Aerosmith, incredible. Steven Tyler rocked the house. The Deuces are wild residency that they have there. In that venue, very intimate venue, not a bad seat in the house. Even if you're up in the balcony, you still feel part of the show. You still feel close to the artist. Steven Tyler made me feel like I was at a party. He invited me to. They really rocked out. Very bluesy sound. Music was impeccable. They were really stellar performers. And at the beginning of the show, you get to see video and audio that were never shown before of recording sessions. And so that was really cool. If you're interested in going to see Aerosmith, their last show this summer is July 9th. They'll be back September, October, November, and a couple shows in December. Highly recommend. He's 71 years old, and you couldn't tell. I mean, the guy has energy like crazy, and his voice is still amazing. So really good gig to go check out at Park MGM. All right, that's it, and I'll call you again when we go out and hit the town. All right, enjoy.
Let's go right to a call from Kino Nick, also known as Big Money Nick, from Atlantic City, East Coast, and Nevada. What a way to start the show. All right, here's Nick.
Hey, this is Nick calling from Atlantic City. Just wanted to give you an update on my yearly trip. Me and my wife got here on Sunday. We're staying till Friday at Bally's, which is in the center of the boardwalk. The hotel has been great. We have a premium room, ocean view with a king bed, non-smoking, bathtub and shower with an ocean view. So that's pretty unique to what I've ever stayed here before. I've never had that kind of view. But the hotel is excellent. They have a big casino in Bally's. However, the luck that we're having is not so hot right now, but it's still a lot of fun. We walked down to the new Hard Rock Casino last night, which was the former Trump Taj Mahal. It's unrecognizable now inside. You couldn't even remember that the Taj Mahal was in there. It's a fantastic casino filled with a lot of excitement. The last time we were at the Taj Mahal a few years ago before it closed, there was hardly anybody in there. Last night, the Hard Rock was completely crowded, and it's been nice to see more people at Bally's, too. So I'm going to give you an update before the trip ends on Friday. So hope everyone has a great day. It is fun here in Atlantic City, and the weather's great. Talk to you later. Bye.
So again, we thank our callers for those two reports. That's Jill Nicole from Las Vegas and Kino Nick from Atlantic City. Let's go right to Craps Talk. Hang on to your seats, everyone. We're going to count it down.
Three, two, one.
On June 26th, I had my biggest night ever at the Rocky Gap Casino Resort in Flintstone, Maryland. Oh, man. And I want to call it this story, Junk Bet Parade. Junk Bet Parade. Because if it's a bad bet, I made it, and I won with it. Oh, what's a bad bet in craps? Not the ones that win, baby. Not the ones that win. So let me share it with you. Also, we will be Sunday, July 14th, we will be at the Belterra that Sunday evening. And we already had a few people check in. They're going to join us there at a craps table. And you probably want to look for the good-looking guy with the Notre Dame attire. And it's a good chance it's going to be Coach Fab, all right? So first beers on Casinos USA. Just depends how many people come. All right. Well, let me get back to Rocky Gap and tell you how I finally cracked a $1,000 barrier on a win at that casino, that beautiful casino in Flintstone, Maryland. Well, the word junk comes out of basketball. I was a successful high school basketball coach, took a team to the state championship here in Pennsylvania at the AAA level. And, you know, junk defense, there's zone defenses and there's man defense. And the term junk defense is when you kind of mix them together. You know, you have like a box in one person's playing man and four are playing zone, or a triangle and two, or, you know, three are playing man and two are playing zone. And sometimes in basketball, nobody knows what the hell anybody's playing. But that's the term of junk defense. And it's a strange mixture sometimes. And sometimes it confuses teams, especially if you just use it, you know, for a short period of time, a couple possessions, and go back to something more mainstream. But nonetheless, I want to say that every time there was a stick change in the game I'm referring to at Flintstone, the craps game, I took everything off. You can't take the pass line off, of course, but I took all my place bets off, all my hard ways off, and I hopped the reds for $15. So that was $5 on each way to make a seven. Hop the reds. And that happened three times, a stick change during the game, and you know what? I won all three times. And so, you know, that's $75 minus the other two ways you didn't make. So it's a $65 win. So right off the bat, that's a superstition that I want you to embrace a little bit. At least think about it. When there's a stick change, a seven usually pops up because of the delay, I guess. Who knows? But that's just a superstition. But hop the reds, baby. Do it for $3, $6, $9, or in my case, $15. $5 on a 6-1, $5 on a 5-2, and $5 on a 4-3. And you might be lucky just like I am. Oh, man. Okay. That's the first thing. Junk bet. Well, it continues.
Yeah, it's a junk bet because people will say that's the worst bet you can make in craps, you know, hopping to sevens, because it's just a one-roll bet. And you read and you hear these experts talking about the house edge and say, well, the worst bet you can make is hardways bets. Don't make hardways bets. So what I was doing a little junk on the hardways too, because I would start by 22 inside, or when I started to win some money, 44 inside, and I would throw a couple bucks on the hardways, you know, so $3 on a hard 10, $3 on a hard 6, $3 on a hard 4, $3 on a hard 8, you know, and every time I'd win a place bet, I'd throw a couple more dollars. So I'm looking, hey, I got $16 on a hard 10, you know, I got $12 on a hard 8. Bang, here comes one. Bang, here comes another one. Bang, here comes another one. Oh my, yeah. Hey, this is real money. You know, I'm getting close to $500 on these junk bets, all right? And then the dice come to me.
And I don't want to talk about dice control because I don't believe in dice control. But if you're a listener of our podcast, we generally talk about dice tendencies. And I think setting dice is a fun thing to do. That doesn't mean that you're not going to throw a seven or throw sevens, but it just seems that certain sets generate more than not certain numbers. And the dice I've been setting lately seem to have turned a bit radioactive, you know, and a lot of that's just good fortune, I'm sure. But, you know, I'm a big believer in what I call, I love this word, ancillary evidence. You know, there's, if you did it with some sort of mathematical formula, it wouldn't hold up. But it's just like what I observe, what I experience, little ancillary evidence. So I call this set the 64, sometimes the 46, probably confuses people. The left dice I'm looking at, I'm looking down on a 6, and behind the 6, where my fingers will be, my thumb, is a 4. And on the right dice, I'm looking down at a 4, and behind that is a 6. So the top is 6-4, and the back, where your fingers go, is a 4-6. The inside of the dice is a 5-5, which makes the outside of the dice a 2-2, and the front of the dice a 3-1. So that's what I was throwing, and I kept up with my junk bet parade, and I had a nice roll. But I was, as I mentioned, I was putting $10, $12 on the pass line, but I was always putting $6 on three-way craps. You know, so three-way craps, those are big odds. You know, a 12 pays 30 to 1, a deuce pays 30 to 1, and a tray pays 15 to 1. So, you know, if you hit a 12 or a deuce, yeah, you win $60, you got $2 on it, then you take away the tray and the other number, the deuce or the 12, that you didn't hit, so you win $56. And so I would always take $50 of that and press at 6. So win 56, press at 6. You know, that's what I was thinking. And I had a nice sequence of hits. I had a 12, I had a tray, I had another 12, and I had a deuce. Okay? And only one other gentleman at the table joined me on this sequence. And, you know, there was a couple $100s. You know, when you got $6 and you hit a deuce or a 12, that's $180, you know. And that's what I had because I kept pressing at $6. So I was adding two, adding two, adding two. You know, again, like, never fight a streak, but be sure that you jump on a streak. So when it was all said and done, I had a nice roll, made my points, and then I colored up, and I ended up $1,015 to the good. That's the first time I ever broke the $1,000 barrier at the Rocky Gap Casino Resort in Flintstone, Maryland. That's that beautiful venue that we talk about over and over again.
So that's it for crab stock today. And, you know, the experts will say, you know, don't play hard numbers, you know, don't chase craps numbers, and don't hop any number. I started hopping numbers on the come out too, because they were the hard numbers that seemed to be coming so frequently. And I hit twice. I hit a hard 8 and a hard 10 on the come out. I'd go $5 on the hops, all the hard numbers with the extra dollar on the hard 10. I hit a hard 10 for 60, and I hit a 8, I remember, on the come out too. So, yeah, I mean, junk bet parade, baby. But, you know, despite what the experts say, in the short term, anything can happen. And sometimes junk bets, those bets that people tell you not to make, are the best bets. That's how I'm telling it. Okay, short break, and we're coming back for a discussion on sports betting via app, something new to us in Pennsylvania. Hey, well, you know, people have used apps illegally offshore, that kind of thing, to bet this and to bet that and to bet all the different sports. But we're talking about legal betting. And the Rivers Casino in Pittsburgh has launched what I'll call Western Pennsylvania's first online sportsbook. Online sportsbook. No free hot dogs there or anything like that, but convenience is what it's all about. And it's betrivers.com. Again, it's the Rivers Casino right beside Heinz Field Stadium and close to PNC Park, the baseball stadium, downtown Pittsburgh, across the river on the north side. North Shore, they call it. So it is the first legal app to bet in Western Pennsylvania. Obviously, somebody came online first, and it was a casino in the eastern part of the state, which you can participate, anyone in Pennsylvania. But I wanted to be true blue to my hometown casino here. And you can bet on the go, you know, and you have all the features that you would get if you stood in line at a betting kiosk or went to the window inside that North Shore casino. So games from around the world are available, and right now it includes baseball, football, and basketball. So there was a trial run period, and things went pretty well. So now it's real money wagers. So there's approval from the Pennsylvania Gaming Control Board, and the app will be available on desktop, and there'll be some mobile platforms which will be live 24/7. And I'm drawing a quote here from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, the newspaper, and the quote is from Andre Bernabe, Vice President of Slot Operations at Rivers Casino, and he says, "The way we see the app," this is a quote, "the way we see the app is as another partner in the business. I think the app is going to be an incredible tool for in-game or live betting." I just want to remind you that users must be in Pennsylvania in order to place a bet. And so those of you listening today who are not from Pennsylvania, hopefully your state has an app for you to use as well. But that's the rule. It's legal in the confines of your state's boundaries. And just to conclude that thought, I've done this, so I know it works. If you place a bet in Las Vegas at a regular sports bet, I guess I'll call it a brick-and-mortar sports betting center, and there's some beautiful ones in Las Vegas on the Strip, you can leave Las Vegas with your ticket stubs, and you can mail them to the casino, and they can pay you. They can send you your check in the mail. But you have to be in Las Vegas to make that bet. You can't do it by app legally, you know. So there's a distinction. You know, if you place a bet at a ordinary sports book in Vegas, you can mail your stubs in, and even though you're out of state, they can pay you. But remember, if you're using apps that cross state lines, it's probably illegal, and it's certainly illegal in Pennsylvania. And now that the state has okayed its own approval for the state casinos to have sport apps, you know, I'm sure they're going to crack down on that illegal betting, you know, as much as they can. I don't know. Sometimes I think about the internet and I think life was pretty sweet when I had, you know, pre-internet friends. You know how it is today. If you're on Facebook, you know, you can have a couple hundred friends on Facebook and only three people are going to come to your funeral. You know what I mean? But pre-internet friends, that's the way it used to be. But I think those days are gone. Just like the retail malls, right? They're starting to disappear. I get nostalgia for the malls. You know, those malls from the 80s that were packed and teenage hangouts and all that. I guess those are the happy days of a lot of us. But nonetheless, all right. Western Pennsylvania, through the rivers, has, the Rivers Casino has a legal sports app that's now available for you to download to your desktop or to, you know, your iPhone, whatever. Okay. I wanted to thank Jill Nicole again for calling in from the Aerosmith concert and the Eataly at Park MGM. And those of you that are heading out that way, I think by the time you hear the podcast, Aerosmith will be gone, but they're coming back. And Jill gave you those times when they're coming back and her phone call. And also, those of you who love Atlantic City, it was a very positive report from Kino Nick, who calls in on his yearly vacation to Atlantic City. So he said the weather's great and a couple of the casinos really look great and they're crowded again. So that was good to hear from Kino Nick and Jill Nicole. So that was good and I want to thank them both for that. Also, this is a time for inexpensive rooms as you get into July and August. It's just so damn hot in Las Vegas. You start talking about 108, 109, 110. If you haven't been there during those periods, yeah, you can swim, but you really have to be careful. And even just walking around, it's tough to leave the casinos because it's just so damn hot. I mean, it's ouch. It's ouch hot, you know. Ouch. But it's now a good time to save some money. We're going to be in Las Vegas in October. We just enjoy that time of the year as Casinos USA. Also, now's the time that we're able to spend in some of the casinos that we really love. And on Sunday, July 14th, we'll be at the Belterra in Florence, Indiana, Southern Indiana, Riverboat Casino Resort, and then a couple days there and then at least a day at the Rising Star Casino and Rising Sun. So we'll get in that fix that we need to get in for those Southern Indiana riverboats. We just love those little towns and enjoy so much the people there.
We have to mention the California earthquake. Understand it was the worst earthquake in California in 20 years. And of course, that went into the Las Vegas Valley and up into northern Nevada. The Aces professional basketball team suspended play during the after the quake. The elevators on the strip, many of them came to a stop and people were frightened. I do know that there was an explosion in a building on the University of Nevada's campus. And we were very concerned about that because that's University of Nevada, Reno, Northern Nevada. Because our granddaughter will be entering University of Nevada, Reno this fall as a freshman. Jill Nicole, who has a swimming pool in her backyard, said that the water was shaking as if people were just jumping and getting out of the pool, and it went on for about 3 minutes. So, you know, life as normal was relatively suspended in the Las Vegas area following the earthquake, which repeated itself a few days later. And as far as we know, there was no serious injuries that occurred, but obviously our hearts go out to the people, the fear that they must have had. Who wouldn't? You know, you just don't know how far it's going to go. And I'm not sure about injuries in California, but the Las Vegas Journal reported that in the Las Vegas Valley anyway, there didn't seem to be any serious injuries. But nonetheless, deep concerns for those people who suffered through it. And with that, I must say that Casinos USA is a place where every day is Saturday, and our mission is the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. And please join us in that
We'll see you in a couple weeks.